Good morning, everyone. My name is Vic, and I am the co-leader of Akora House Church with Sin Miao. It is my privilege to share the devotion with you this morning. So let us start off with a prayer. Dear Father God, we just want to thank you for today and for this time right now. And we thank you for all who are here in person and listening to this devotion. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and soften our hearts and open up our ears. I pray that you'll help us to really lay down everything in our life right now, and so that we can focus on you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this space, and praying for your truth to be shared through my devotion today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we'll be reading from Matthew 24, 1 to 25. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciple came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes dissolution, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight would not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time." So, in this passage, Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple, which did happen in AD 70. According to my research, the Romans did burn that temple down and tear it apart brick by brick for the metals. Then Jesus went on and addressed a few important things to his disciple about the end of age. For the end of age, Jesus first warned the disciples to not be deceived by false prophets and claims of the next Messiah. He describes certain signs and indicators that will tell us if the end is approaching. Indicators such as news about violence and also international conflicts when nations will be against nations and natural disasters. And to be honest, isn't that true? I'm sure all of us can see on the news lately with countries being at war, and every once in a while, certain part of the world had experienced natural disasters. Jesus also mentioned how the believers will have great suffering during this time, where we will be persecuted and hated by the world, and many will turn away from God. and God's love will fade from the world. Jesus also referred to the prophecy by Daniel about the end of days. The great tribulation will be coming our way as we approach the end of days. And Jesus once again reminded the disciples to not believe false prophets and great signs and wonders. And yes, they all sound a little dim and depressing, but as I was meditating on the scripture, I do sense a silver lining and hope in all of these negativities from the passage. And I hope that will encourage you today as well. Out of all these warnings and signs in verse 21 to 22, Jesus said in the Message version, this is going to be trouble on a scale beyond what the world has ever seen or will see again. If these days of trouble were left to run their course, nobody would make it. But on account of God's chosen people, the trouble will be cut short. And for me, this one liner, like one sentence, but on account of God's chosen people, the trouble will be cut short, as it stood out to me because I think it is a good reminder of God's love for his people. And with this in mind, I would like to bring your attention to the second point that God has highlighted to me about this passage. I think during this troubled time approaching the end of days, Jesus said in verse 13 to 14, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I believe the one who will or can stand firm are God's chosen people, meaning me and you. And really, as we live our lives, we'll need to be sensitive and intentional about standing firm during this time and age. Because one thing was clear through this passage, and as we read on Matthew chapter 24, is that Jesus is definitely coming back. Hallelujah. And we have been instructed by Jesus to keep watch because no one knows the day or time that it will happen. So each day, we should act like the master will return. Those of you who know me, I am a primary school teacher. At school, we are currently doing the 7 Habits of Happy Kids, written by Stephen Covey. I believe there's an adult version called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. One of the habit is begin with the end in mind, because sometimes when we know what the end should be or will be, it is easier for us to take a step forward towards the goal. So in this case, to stand firm for God and his kingdom, knowing Jesus is coming back. And then secondly, understand that you are an important part of God's plan, of spreading the gospel to the nations. And lastly, intentionally look for ways to help achieve the goal, which is to stand firm and be a testimony to others in this world. In other words, maybe we can be highly effective God's people. Now, some of you might be thinking right now, well, how can we actually do that? Well, as I was thinking about God's chosen people, one verse really came to mind. And I hope this will help you reflect and remind you what are some things we can do as we are living each day with the mindset of Jesus returning. The verse is from Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As I wrap up this devotion, I wanted to point out right now in our world, there are a lot of signs and wonders that indicate that the end might be approaching, according to today's passage. But I also wanted to remind you, as God's chosen people, our time of suffering will be shortened, and we can be the ones who stand firm to the end so the gospel of the kingdom can be preached to the whole world as a testimony. And with that, said, I want to encourage us by asking us to reflect if we are doing things mentioned in Colossians 3, verse 13 to 14, not only towards people at church, but other people we encounter at our work or other places. And I pray that we can continue to strive to become God's chosen people mentioned in Colossians, so that we can be a testimony to the nations when the times come. I would like to invite the worship team to come up now and start playing a little bit as I finish off with a prayer. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for today's passage and the warning and reminders about the end of days and your second coming. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us right now and help us reflect on how we are as God's chosen people during this troubled time in the world. I pray the Colossians passage over each and every one of us here, that it can remind us and help us become the testimony for your kingdom and your love to the people in this world. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.